20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's almost the weekend. The Thursday crew is here. Well, two-thirds of us are here. Paul Bredel is still on the... Mark, what did we decide? He's on the inactive
paternity
list.
Paternity leave.
He's on the paternity leave list. That is correct. So I am Jason Perrone of Pack-A-Day Podcast, Game On Wisconsin, and the Quick Slants Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report. As mentioned, Paul Bredel on paternity leave. Much deserved. Hope he and his family are doing well, settling back in at home. Mark... Got to talk some Packers. Yes. There were some OTAs, but before we do, as always, we will start with the weather. And our first entry is our friend Robin Erickson out in Oslo, Norway, who says from his cabin in the woods, it is, let's see, 32 miles southeast of Oslo, mostly cloudy, temps at 66 Fahrenheit, daily smatterings of rain. Had his first swim this year in the nearest lake. It was bearable, so summer is sort of here, I guess. That is Oslo, Norway, okay. Our lone entry from Europe. And then we come to the east coast of the United States at Myrtle Beach, where Mark Eckel is standing by. What are we looking at? How are we looking at the beach?
Warm. It's been warm this week. Tuesday, actually, was they gave those heat advisories out where, you know, be careful, make sure you drink a lot of water, you know, make sure you... If you're going to be out in the sun, make sure you have sunscreen, all the stuff that you probably hear every day in Arizona. But, yeah, it was pretty hot. And then it cooled off a little bit Wednesday and Thursday, but it's still high 80s, touching 90. And yeah, but nice.
All right.
But good it's deal. Nice here. Again, I'm on the ocean. So I get – that breeze makes a big, big difference. So I'm enjoying this.
Sounds like it. Well, so rain yesterday.
Really?
And in Green Bay.
Oh, Green Bay.
And we're doing Green Bay for Paul. So in Green Bay, it was rain on Wednesday. And then, you know, as we know, we record on Wednesday night. So it says it's supposed to be windy and about 82 degrees. So if it's windy and 82, we were right in the Green Bay locale. But at least their temperatures are up there. It's, you know, it's not too bad. A low of only 64. So summer is around, right?
Okay.
Yeah. In Phoenix, you don't even need the weather forecast to know what's happening out here.
I was
going to
say, when you said rain, I thought you were doing yours. I'm like, oh, wow, it doesn't rain in Phoenix this time of year.
Nope. Hot, and we went up from 105 to 111 today.
Ooh.
So it's 111 degrees, not a drop of rain in sight. There might be some later this week, but it looks like that kind of disappeared from the forecast. So as they say, there's... not a lot of rain in the desert, and we're proving that to be very, very true this year for sure. And then, as always, our friend at Kamloops, Canada, Harry, it's been a beautifully sunny the last 5 or 6 days. However, another thunderstorm moves in on Thursday, high of 68, low of 48. The sun is up by 4:45 in the morning. Sun sets at 9:15, and you can easily walk around your yard at 10:30 with the light in the sky. Isn't that interesting, Mark, where you're like in the northern... parts of the United States and like up in Canada where you do get like that extremely long sunlight in the summer.
Yeah. Like Alaska, right? Isn't it? They have like, it's light for whatever many hours. It's grand.
Yeah. There's portions of the year where the sun doesn't really set.
I know.
Like it sets
wild.
And it comes back up. Yeah. It's just crazy. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. So there's your weather. It's warm. It's warm. It's hot. All around the world. So Packers OTAs are Wednesday team put together a recap of the OTAs, did a great job as usual, of course. So what Mark and I will go through and discuss now that we have a little bit more information about the team and some more stuff's gone on over the last week is our updated top concerns regarding the Green Bay Packers and anything that happened that is causing concerns. And I think mine is the lowest of hanging fruit, but Mark, I want to let you go first. Oh. And we'll talk through yours or any points that you have, and then we'll save mine for next.
Well, mine is, I won't even say it. Yours is the big concern, obviously, but and we'll get to that later. My concern isn't, I'm not very concerned, but I am concerned about the wide receiver position and just how it's all going to shake out. This is the first time in a long time that we didn't know that there wasn't a clear-cut number one wide receiver on the Packers. I mean, it was Davante Adams for the last, how many years did he play? Seven?
Yep.
I know, and before that, Nelson, before that, Jennings, before that, you know, Freeman. I mean, I can go back and back and back. I mean, and sometimes you could argue who was one. Was it Nelson or Jennings, you know, or was it, you know, there was two number ones maybe, or one and one A. Now it's, we don't know. And again, we've gone over this about, you know, maybe it's a good thing and Rodgers can spread the field and look around and not be focused on one guy, but you still need somebody. And we were talking about, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks too, as well, that, you know, my concern is the unknown. I think my concerns will be eased once the season starts, and whether it's the rookie Watson or Sammy Watkins or Alan Lazard or Randall Cobb or Amari Rodgers, somebody will emerge, I believe, or two or three will emerge as, you know, good enough. Like they did, like the first year after Sterling Sharp retired, they didn't have a one that year either, but Robert Brooks and I guess Freeman was there. Yeah, Freeman, you know, started to step up, and then you saw what was happening, and it worked out well. Worked out very well.
Yep.
So my concern is until I see, because I mean I'm painting the best case scenario that these guys will emerge. Well, there's a worst case scenario that Watson's a rookie and he plays like a rookie and he's not. Maybe not that good of a rookie, even. We don't know. You know, that Sammy Watkins, you know, there's potential. I mean, he's done it in the past, but it's been the past. Lately, he's been hurt and just average when he wasn't. You know, Randall Cobb is a year older and has also been known to get hurt. Amari Rodgers did very little as a rookie. I happen to think he's going to get better, but until I see it, we, you know, the facts are he hasn't. So there's to me, that's a concern that the wide receiver position as a whole, and just, you know, I have concerns.
Yeah. That you want that alpha in the room where you don't know who it's going to be.
Right.
And now we're leaning on hope. And I feel like that's going to be the theme of today. When we get to mine, we're leaning on hope again too. And it is concerning because we don't know what the reality is. We've come into a lot of seasons recently, and they've been some very good Packers teams where there have been some question marks and some of them have been answered and solved and others never got solved. I point to last year in special teams, right? So yeah, I'm not saying that
we said it.
Yeah, but I'm not saying the receiver position is going to be that, but it creates the question of if this, like you said, if the worst case scenario happens, this offense is probably going to be in some trouble because as much as you can work A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones in the run game, you got to throw the ball.
Right.
And if the Packers can't, and again, you got questions at tight end too, because you got Tonyan injured, and is DeGuara going to step up, and how much time is he going to spend at a true tight end spot? How else do you mitigate some of those snaps? Mercedes Lewis isn't a receiver really anymore. There's all kinds of things that trickle down that can cause issues if the receivers don't end up being very good, and you're when you pin your hopes on rookies, and this is a kind of a cautionary tale with the draft. Everybody wanted receiver, receiver, receiver in the draft. Get a receiver, get a receiver. Trade up, you know, get a stud. Even if you trade up and you get Olave or Jameson Williams, right, it doesn't really necessarily mean they're going to be Pro Bowl ready in the first year anyway.
Oh, so, right, of course not.
Well, so here you are.
Especially Williams, especially Jameson Williams, who he's going to miss half a year or so. Who knows?
Right.
He's going to miss some time at least.
So here you are. Here you are. You know, this is kind of what you wanted, Packers, some Packers fans, not everybody, but some Packers fans. This is kind of what you wanted. You wanted these young players that were going to be contributors, and now we have them, and now we have to really hope that Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs, I mean, Toure, we can't even count on yet. He's a seventh rounder. There's no guarantees he's even going to make the roster.
Right. I know I keep reading stories about him. and this and that.
In shorts in the summer, though. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I think he's practice squad, at least to start the season. I think he'll start the season on the practice squad, and then, you know, that's what the practice squad's for. If he practices well, if he looks good on Wednesday and Thursday, then, and somebody isn't doing as well, yeah, he could get moved up. That's very, very possible. We've seen a lot of guys, a lot of good players, especially Packers, begin their careers on the practice squad. And then, you know, they, like I just said, they do well in practice. They catch the coach's eye. KGB, you know, Kamir Bahamihamilis began his, believe it or not, began his career on the practice squad, and then became their number two all-time sacker.
Yep.
You know, that's pretty amazing. I think I'm right about this too. Didn't Hasselbeck begin on the practice squad?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah.
I think he did.
For some reason, I think he did, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he did.
And you find all kinds of, I mean, you know, Kurt Warner was undrafted. Not that he wasn't on a practice squad, but he was undrafted.
He would have been if they had a practice squad back then.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of those stories.
I mean, I'm saying, Torrey, I'm not writing him off by any means, but I'm certainly not counting on him to be any kind of an impact player this year.
Well, you mentioned,
if he is, God bless him. I mean, that would be amazing.
Well, they might. I mean, that is good, because you mentioned Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb, for example, and obviously Lazard, who signed his tender. I have another thing to mention about that in a second. That's you know, very typical me, if you followed me and listened to some of the things that I read into and look into. But someone is going to be the leading receiver in Green Bay, whether it's good or bad, right? So someone is going to be the top receiver in this offense, and it could end up being Randall Cobb by default, just simply because of how much some of the other guys might struggle. And now we're kind of leaning towards the negative. We don't know if that's going to happen or not. And then if Sammy Watkins is usual Sammy Watkins, he's not going to play 17 games. So then neither is Cobb, right? So you're not going to get great production from either one of them. So even though they're the leading receiver, it may still not be enough for the Packers to do what it is that they want to do. So that the problem, Mark, and you know this too, is that we're not going to get any even hints of an answer until we get into, I don't even know if training camp, because those guys aren't going to play in the preseason. I mean, we're not going to really know what's happening until about the second or third week of the year. And I've said a couple times before, the schedule doesn't start out with cakewalks. The Packers can't just mail in the first couple games. They got two divisional games, then they play Tampa on the road in week three. And those are supposed to be your feel it out weeks. Well, they don't really have that luxury anymore.
Yeah.
Know how confident you are about the division, and it's like, you know, Minnesota and Chicago aren't really going to, even if they don't win either of those two games, which I'd be shocked they lost them both, the Packers would probably still be okay. I don't like starting off slow like that.
No, I don't want to start slow, and I don't think they will. But again, and I think this team might be, because, and this will lead into what your concern is, the way that the health of this team going into the season, I mean, a lot of years most teams go into the season healthy, right? Yeah, we're healthy. Everybody's healthy. Yeah, great. And then you get guys hurt. Guys get hurt as the season goes on. And then you know, when it counts, you're not healthy sometimes. And we've seen this happen to Packer teams through the years. They were a very good team, but they had guys hurt at the wrong time, and they got eliminated in the playoffs because of it. And not just the Packers, a lot of other teams as well. This Packer team might be a peak late team, which I'd much rather be a team that peaks late than a team that peaks early. You know, like you mentioned, Robert Tonyan being out. Well, yeah, he's not going to start the season. Hope is that he's back by the middle, somewhere in the middle of the season, maybe October, something, whatever. And then by January, when you really need him and you're making that playoff run and you're going into the playoffs, he's back to full health. A rookie like Watson, by the time January rolls around, you know, I've had coaches say this to me years through the years, you know, player, whoever, pick a rookie. He's not a rookie anymore. It's January. He's played 16 games now, or now this year, you could say 17 games. He's not a rookie anymore. He knows his job now. He knows the playbook. It's time for him to, you know, step up now. We need him. So I have a good feeling that, and again, other injuries could come in and wipe all this out, but I just have a good feeling that as opposed to the past couple Packer teams that maybe, you know, had great regular seasons, but for whatever reason stumbled into playoffs and health was an issue in a couple cases, could be getting better. Their best months could be December and January instead of September and October. And I would take that every time.
Right. Yeah. And obviously be late because of the playoffs and health wise, hopefully the team stays healthy. I mean, this is shaping up to be one of those seasons where there's going to have to be a lot of things that go right for the Packers because they can't just count on, and I guess I say because think about it, you know, they can't just count on 110 balls to Davante Adams anymore. They don't have anybody that can carry 100, that can catch 110 balls. So they have to hope that everyone stays healthy, the offense clicks, Rodgers works with these receivers, and the chemistry is there and all that other stuff too. Is there. They stay healthy. Tonyan comes back on time. DeGuara doesn't regress this year. You know, there's so many, and I'm just looking at the skill position. And also AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones are extremely productive in the run game. And Rodgers doesn't take any steps back and obviously no injuries, right?
Obviously. I wonder, you know, you could bet on anything now, right? So I wouldn't mind putting a small wager on Aaron Jones being the team's leading receiver.
Ooh, that would be really intriguing. I mean, it's fine if he is, but that would be intriguing.
I'd get pretty good odds. But it wouldn't shock me in the least if he catches more balls than, I'm not saying more yards, but more catches.
Right.
Because he's going to, I mean, I have a feeling that you're going to see Dillon and Jones on the field a lot together. It's not going to be like it was where, you know, Jones gets the first two series and he comes out and Dillon gets a series and Jones gets, and they, no, I think they're both going to be out there together because why not? You want your best players on the field and they're probably right now. I would say they're Aaron Rodgers' top two weapons. I think right now, I mean, again, things could emerge, but I want them both on the field. So, and I could see Dillon, you know, being in the backfield, Jones starting in the backfield, going in motion, going out wide, going in the slot, doing all kind of things. I mean, you could do a lot of things with Aaron Jones. And that's going to cause coordinators a little bit of, you know, sleepless nights worrying about what you're going to do with Aaron Jones. And then you could run, and LaFleur is creative enough and loves doing this kind of stuff where, you know, you run one play where Jones does this, and he gets the ball, and then you run the same exact play, but Dillon gets a handoff instead, and then because then now you have the defense, you know, reacting to Jones and going, and then you know three guys go his way, and then boom, there's openings for us for other things, Dillon to run or the tight ends open or, you know, all kind of things.
Right.
I have confidence that as much as I'm concerned about what I just said, the wide receiver position, I'm confident enough in both Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur to make things better than they are. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick did it for years in New England. I mean, Brady rarely had a great cast around him in terms of skill people. Yet they won and won and won and won and won because they had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I'm not saying LaFleur's in Belichick's class yet. But he's pretty damn good. He's won 39 games in 3 years. That's he's off to an incredible start. So yeah, I'm confident. And it's funny. I did a radio show up in Philly earlier today. We were talking about different analytics and how they play. But it was interesting. An old friend of mine has a show still up there, had me on for a couple minutes. And his last question to me was, you know, being that I'm outside, I don't know, I'm far away from Philly now, and I don't cover him like I used to, obviously. But he asked me what I thought of. He said a lot of people have the Eagles, you know, high expectations. Looking at it from, you know, far away, what do I think? And I said, I think the Eagles did a lot of good things this offseason, but the two most important people and the two people that will determine how good a season they have are Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, because the quarterback and the coach are – are your two of your most important people. I said they put a lot of good people around them now. They had a pretty good. They drafted okay. They signed some good free agents, but Hurts has to be better than he was last year, and Sirianni has to be better than he was last year. Both if they both take steps in the right direction, I think the team will be they will be pretty good. If they don't, then the team will be like 9-8 again, and maybe and hope to snatch a wild card spot. Well, Green Bay's kind of the opposite. You know, the surrounding part on offense, the surrounding parts maybe aren't as good as they've been. But you still have Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. And I use that comparison. I said in Green Bay, they have Aaron Rodgers. You just write down, X amount of wins right there. And then if other guys step up, then you add a couple wins and you end up with 13 sometimes. But the coach and quarterback in this NFL, coach and quarterback are very important. And Green Bay ranks, in my opinion, right near the top of the league, if not the top. Is there a better coach quarterback combination in the NFL right now?
Mahomes, Reed.
Okay, maybe.
I wouldn't necessarily say good. Better, but that's they're no, in that, the conversation.
That's the one. Yeah, that would be the one. I'm not sure anybody else.
I mean, you can't give it to.
I can't say Brady Bowles because Bowles failed as an. I mean, he might be better now, but his resume says he was a failure as an NFL head coach.
Right. And I am very disappointed in myself because I am blanking on our guy. Actually, you know him very well, the Bills head coach and Josh Allen.
Oh, Sean McDermott.
McDermott, yeah.
Yeah, Sean's good. But
McDermott doesn't have – no. I mean, it's
– He's not at all. He's a defensive guy even. So it was more Brian Daboll and Allen, and now Brian Dable's not there anymore. So
right.
That's going to be – the Bills are going to be an interesting team to watch because of – they've lost some – like, that's a big loss, I think.
Yeah,
losing Dable now. We'll see. We'll see how they. Maybe I'm saying it was a big loss. Maybe it wasn't a loss at all. Maybe he was just a guy that. And Allen is just that good. But we'll find out.
Right.
I'll put it this way. I would match Rodgers and LaFleur. And Reed Mahomes, yeah. But I'll match him with anybody.
Yeah.
Including Reed and Mahomes.
Well, we probably should mention, and I wouldn't put Stafford in the same category, but the obviously the defending Super Bowl champ,
yeah,
Sean McVay and McStafford. But Stafford, no, I
that's
wouldn't.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good one, but I'll put LaFleur and Rodgers up against them.
You know, listening to what you said, though, kind of reminds me, though, that there's so many variables on every team. Good teams, bad teams, mediocre teams. There's a lot of things that can tip the scale. So the Packers having questions right now doesn't necessarily mean that things are any better or worse, because we went into last season with less questions per se. I mean, let's take the Rodgers thing out of the situation, because a year ago right now we were all biting our fingernails off. But let's take that out of the equation, and let's say going into last year with what they had, right? I guess you could have said like, oh, we don't know what they're going to have at middle linebacker, or we didn't know what Devondre Campbell was going to be. But I don't think anybody was like completely freaking out because Chris Barnes had been okay. Just stuff like that. Like, you felt better last year right now at this time with the amount of questions. And look what happened. It didn't make a difference. They still lost they lost their first playoff game. So you can have no questions and not be good in the playoffs. You can have a bunch of questions and surprise and, charge through the playoffs. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're in any better or worse shape right now.
No, especially now. But the difference this year, like, notice I have no questions about the defense.
It's hard to have any.
None.
They're in
pretty
good shape, right?
I mean, this defense got better everywhere. Well, maybe no, yeah, no, everywhere. Up front, they're better. Wyatt is a rookie that's going to make an impact. I'm telling you right now, he's going to make an impact. And I know he went against the Packers' standards of drafting a little bit of a guy who's a little bit older. But that's why he's going to have an impact, because he is older. He's not a kid. I mean, he's not a 20-year-old, 21-year-old. He's a little old. That's why I think he's ready to play in the NFL, and he's going to be good. I think that was a really good pick. That's going to help them both against the run, and he's going to give them a little bit of pass rush. And then the guy Reed they signed as a free agent. He's better than Kingsley Keke. I mean, that's really who he's going to be, right? I mean, he's better. So up front they're better, If Quay Walker, that was a pick that kind of came out of left field for me, but they obviously like him. They like what he brings. They actually using them a little bit outside, even. That's what I was going to talk about. They were using them a little bit outside, which I kind of like. So him and Campbell, I mean, that's a the linebackers are pretty good right now.
And they got faster, so
Yeah, oh yes. And
a lot of speed.
then Alexander, Stokes, and Douglas, there isn't a better trio of cornerbacks in the league. There just isn't. I mean, now this, if the defense stays healthy, those top 11 guys, or even go a little deeper with 12, 13, whatever you want to go, this is as good a defense as the Packers have had in a long time, in my opinion. I mean, I know people want to nitpick and say, oh, well, they need a third pass rusher. Well, yeah, they do, but some teams need a second pass rusher or a first pass rusher. Okay, they need a third
Or
one.
an entire position group.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying that if that's your biggest need on defense is a good backup, well, then you got a pretty good defense. And
So
again, so yeah, I'm this. It's going to be this Packer team to me is going to be very different than the Packer teams that we've grown to know and like. Is in that I think their run game is going to be. They're not going to be. Listen, it's not going to be ground and pound. But it's going to be more 50-50 than it's been in a long time, I think. And the defense is going to be, I think the defense is going to carry the team.
Right.
I think they're going to win more games, 23-16 than they are 35-31.
Sure.
Don't you?
Well, because I don't know if this offense is going to churn. And think about it this way, if you're leaning on the run game, and I know that can also mean that they're involved in the passing game too, so that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be a bunch of 7-minute drives, but I wouldn't mind that.
No, me
And
either.
then, just by virtue of mathematics, that it's 23-16 because you only had the ball, what, three times, four times, but you only needed to have it three or four times because you basically drained a quarter and a half by yourself of just moving the chains and keeping the defense tired.
I also see this defense, and we're getting off track here, but that's okay. I also see this defense helping the off. I Given the offense
Hugely.
shorter fields, not where, Rodgers isn't getting the ball at his own 15, having to go 85 yards. I see them creating turnovers, getting through, pinning teams back to, getting a three and out, and the punt goes to midfield and they start at midfield, or getting a turnover in the plus side. So Rodgers comes out on the field already in field goal range, and now he just has to, he don't have to move them as far. I really do. I think this defense is going to be opportunistic. I think they'll get sacks. I think they'll get turnovers. And that's an offense's best friend. Starting if they're getting great field position all the time, and they're going to look. That's Rodgers and Dillon and Jones and Watkins and Watson. They're going to love that.
Well, let me go back to something that you said. So I know we said this was like top concerns, and now I'm definitely going to be getting off topic because this is the opposite of
It's
a
all right. You
concern.
just keep
But
going here.
you mentioned Quay Walker, and I want to bring something up here, which is when he was drafted first overall, I don't think there's very many people that had him high on their bet card. I know that's
Not
not a
for the
thing, like their
Packers,
bet
especially.
slip, right? Not for
No,
the
not for the
Packers.
Packers,
Not for
especially
the
not for the
Packers,
Packers.
right? I had not even really heard of Quay Walker when he was drafted. I know some people who prep for the draft are very familiar with him, and he
Right.
played at Georgia. So obviously, he's gotten more airtime and should be more widely known than somebody who played at, apologies, Christian Watson, but North Dakota State, right?
Right.
So, but they drafted him, right? So back when they drafted Rashawn Gary, we all knew who Rashawn Gary was. But again, Packers fans and Packers circles and the Packers sphere, whatever you want to call it, were not expecting Rashawn Gary to be their pick. And he was. And at the time, it was head scratching. Okay, there was a lot of people who weren't sure and didn't understand the pick at all. And there was a lot of, Brian Gutekunst got a lot of flack for it. Fast forward to this week, and he's there busting his tail when there aren't a lot of veterans there. I don't think he's doing all that for show. He's been
No.
working his ass off in this off season to try to get ready. So, did you find that? And maybe it's, we're hearing this after this draft, but Did you find yourself a little less uneasy? Any amount of question you had about the Quay Walker pick, you know, less impactful to you negatively, just simply because of how well Rashawn Gary has turned out? Because Brian Gutekunst looks like he's looking like he knew something about Rashawn Gary that a lot of other people didn't.
I know what you're saying, but no, I didn't feel that way for both reasons. First of all, I was one of the few people that didn't hate the Rashawn Gary pick. It wasn't, I forgot who I thought they were going to pick that year.
Well, Brian Burns was there, and that's who a lot of people wanted.
Some people did. I wasn't a Brian Burns guy either. I didn't think they were picking that position because they had just signed both Smiths. So that's why I was surprised at the Gary pick. But I forget who I thought they were going to take there. Was there a corner or a safety? Oh, wasn't there a real good safety or corner?
Yes. And
Derwin James, was that the Derwin
James
draft? Well,
no, Derwin was the year prior. That was the Jair. They could have drafted Derwin. They moved back and got Jair.
Oh, right.
Instead.
Okay. No, all right. Then there was somebody else. Burns wasn't my guy either.
That was the Devin White, Devin Bush draft, the linebackers.
Right. But they were gone.
Yep. They were gone.
I forget who I thought, but I didn't. I wasn't mad at the select. I wasn't mad at all. I wasn't. When they took Gary, I didn't say, oh my God, they took Rashawn Gary. I said, oh wow, they took Rashawn Gary. Wow, they just signed those two Smiths. And then I started thinking to myself, oh, maybe Preston Smith's going to be an inside linebacker. I mean, he could do that maybe. I don't know what I was. I just didn't. And they still had Kyle Fackrell.
Right.
Also, who was coming off a 10-sack season. So I really didn't see pass rush.
Five of which came in one game against the Seahawks.
Yeah, true.
Right.
Hey, that's still 10 sacks.
That's right.
I just didn't but I liked him as a player. I mean, there were some people doubting this and that about him, but no, he was athletic as all get out. I mean, he's what I thought he was. I mean, he's a good player. I did not knock the pick at all of Gary. I just was surprised they took that position more than the player. And again, they did what we always want teams to do and what teams always say they're going to do, but most don't. We're going to take the best player on the board. We don't care about what position he plays. That's what the Packers did that night. That wasn't their biggest need, but on their board, he was the highest rated guy. They said, screw it. We're taking the highest rated guy. We're not taking our biggest need. And they did. And he's done that a lot, Gutekunst. He's done it more than he hasn't, for the most part. Taking the guy. If you notice, it takes the Packers about 20 seconds to make their pick, depending on how long the guy's name is when they write it down.
Right. I think. Yeah.
They never waste time.
Yeah.
So he went. Oh, he's the highest guy. Go, there you go. Put him in. I mean, it's always they waste no time. So they're prepared and they go by their board. Now this pick, Quay Walker, surprised me because I bought into the Packers don't value inside linebackers. They're never going to take one in the first round because they don't put a high value on. So I kind of bought into that. And it's funny when I'm working that night because I went back and worked for my old boss at NJ.com where I had to do as soon as a pick was made, I made a comment and sent it to him and then he put it online, whatever. So I'm still writing about the prior pick. And again, because the Packers make their pick in 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. I'm still writing about whoever went the pick before Walker, saying it was a good pick or bad, whatever I thought of it. And a friend of mine texts me and says, the Packers took the kid from Georgia. I thought they took Wyatt. I really did.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I said, oh, they got Wyatt? He went, no, Walker. I said, Walker? The linebacker? He said, yeah. And I said, oh, shit. I said,
yeah.
I wasn't expecting. I really did think, and then they took Wyatt a couple picks later. But when he said they took the kid from Georgia, I really thought they took Wyatt.
If you had said that to the whole of Packers Nation and like the fans and Twitterverse or whatever, they would have all probably hoped that it was Pickens.
Oh yeah,
because everyone wanted a receiver.
Right, but I didn't think Pickens was a first round pick, and he wasn't.
No, definitely.
But Wyatt, I thought was, mm-hmm. and he was, and he was a first. And you know what? They could have flip flopped those picks probably, and nobody would. I don't know what the difference would have been, because if you remember, they were stunned that Wyatt was still there for him. Unless they're lying, I don't think they were lying about that. They didn't think Wyatt was gonna, you know. Anyway, they but when they took Walker, my first reaction was, wow, Wyatt, again, not the player. I didn't mind the player. I was surprised they took that position at that spot.
Right.
I don't know. Again, I don't know who. All the receivers were gone. The receivers we thought they would take in the first round were all gone.
Right.
So we were left looking at, okay, what do you do? Actually, you know who I like the kid, Lloyd, the linebacker from Utah, who went a couple of picks after. I was a little surprised they took Walker over him. But again, there was things that they liked about Walker. And I think part of it is that they had him playing in some outside edge rusher at the OTAs and at the minicamp. That tells me they might think this guy can do a lot of different things for him.
Right.
That he's not just an inside linebacker.
No, yeah. Well, that's why you hope the upside is what it's going to be. If you're going to stay there and not move back and get additional picks and take other players, then you're going to make a choice at that selection. Then you better hope that they pan out. And I would have to say it's one of those – this is what I mean, though, is the Rashawn Gary, like they found something in him that – and people were questioning it too. There was a healthy amount of people who questioned whether Rashawn Gary even loved football or was lazy.
That was the knock on him, right?
And I don't know if it was founded or not, but you know there were plenty of people who said that, and he has done nothing but knock it down. I mean, he's been very much. I mean, the comments that he made this week, and you know, some players just know what to say. You've interviewed plenty of them, and you probably know the difference between players who are talking to, you know, score some PR points and those that really mean it. I mean, he said, we wear this helmet for the players that played before us. Like, this dude is dedicated to football, and he is dedicated to the Green Bay Packers.
No, he gets it. There's no doubt about it. And you know, and give the Packers organization and coaching staff a lot of credit for his development.
Yes.
They brought him in. He barely played as a rookie. He was their fourth guy.
Yeah.
He was fourth, not even third,
right.
Fourth. Because Fackrell, like I said, was still there, and Fackrell got a lot of snaps. You know, then they let Fackrell go as a free agent, as you thought they would. And he was still third for the most part. And if Preston, he kind of moved into second by the end of the year. He was like getting as much reps as Preston Smith. But that's only because Preston didn't have a very good year that year. You know, but that's when Preston kind of was out of shape a little bit. And if Preston would have had the same kind of year, his second year in Green Bay, as he had his first year in Green Bay, Gary probably wouldn't have gotten as many snaps.
Right.
But they eased him. He got a little more to where now they were comfortable letting Za'Darius Smith go. You know, not you know, saving that money to use other places because they had this guy. And no, that turned out to be a very good pick. I'll tell you, I think that the Alexander, I don't think anybody was raving when they took Jair Alexander.
Right.
It was like, okay, this guy's okay.
Some were, but yeah, that wasn't that. I mean, well, everyone was really frustrated because a lot of people wanted Derwin James, and they're both defensive backs. One's a safety, the other's a corner, but they're both DBs.
Right. Yeah. And they traded down, and they got the extra pick. But I mean, I don't remember anyone, myself included, saying, oh, Packers got this kind of steal with this guy. This guy Alexander's going to be great. No, I remember I was like, okay, they did need a corner, and this guy seems to be okay. He's fast. He's, you know, he's pretty good. But no one I talked to raved about it. No one panned it and said, oh, that this guy can't play. That's a bad pick. But no one was like, yeah, okay, that's who they got. Yeah, it was more the talk about them trading back and then trading back up and, you know, getting a pick for next year.
Right. And of course that was a future pick. So no one knew what they were going to do with it. And they ended up getting a guy that's played starting safety and on some successful teams for a couple of years. So it worked out. But at the time we didn't know what they were going to use it for. And
Goody
was his first draft or where it was going to, and it was Goody's first draft. So he didn't have the reputation established yet. For me, the Quay Walker pick, this was a perfect example of, you know, and another thing that I said before the draft, everyone was throwing the same, because it's the same thing every year, Mark. It's the same seven or eight names that get thrown down our throats and mocked to the Packers, and none of them end up getting drafted. Or if one gets drafted, it's because he fell two rounds later than the first round. and they didn't end up, they ended up picking him then. But Quay Walker wasn't a very popular name. So once again, it was a name that we weren't totally expecting. But I found myself just saying, hey, you know what? I have no reason to believe this guy's not going to do good things for the Packers, because they have shown a propensity to do good things with players once they get them in the building with the coaching staff and all that other kind of stuff. Now, Jordan Love, I'm going to keep him as an outlier because of the quarterback situation and all the changing and moving parts there. Although I definitely do think that he's up against it this year. I mean, he has not shown us much yet, but he's
hasn't played.
And that, right. So that won't happen until we get into August and they start playing preseason games. And
even preseason games, I don't count them as anything. Listen, the Jordan Love pick, I'll defend that forever and ever and ever. Rodgers was getting older, and he's even older yet. He was not the two-time MVP when they took Jordan Love. He was a guy coming off an injured year and then a okay year by his standards. So it wasn't like, you know, oh, they got the MVP a quarterback. Well, no, they had a guy that was getting older and had been hurt the year prior to that. You know, and they had a chance to take a quarterback in the 20s, which if you like a quarterback, and you don't always get the chance to get a quarterback that you like when you're picking in the 20s. And if the selection of Jordan Love turned Aaron Rodgers back into a two-time MVP, well, then it's worth it just for that.
Right.
But that's what Rodgers needed. I mean, and we all know Rodgers is, you know, he's a great quarterback, but we know he don't think the way everybody else does, right? He's a little different.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. He thinks a lot. He's a very intelligent man. If that got him motivated, if that was what got him back on track, and I think Matt LaFleur had a little bit to do with it too, obviously, but and him adapting to Matt's off, you know, coming in, you know, he played in the West Coast offense under Mike McCarthy's entire life until Matt LaFleur got there. So he had to change up a little bit. But if the selection of Jordan Love was the motivation or the spark or whatever you want to call it that got Rodgers playing the way he has the last two regular seasons, that's a great pick.
worth the first rounder. Well, yes, I mean, it could have been because they could have gone to a Super Bowl 2 years in a row. So I would say yes.
Yes. And it wasn't. And again, oh, well, if they would have taken this guy, first of all, there's only one wide receiver that was taken after the Packers took Love has been any good. And that's T. Higgins, who Cincinnati took with the first pick of the second round. Yeah, I wouldn't have minded T. Higgins. Although, I'll be honest, coming out, I didn't think T. Higgins was a good fit for the
Packers.
There were
a lot of people who had a lot of questions about him.
I mean, I thought he'd be a good player, but I didn't think he'd fit. I thought the Packers had guys just like him.
That's the other thing people don't take into consideration with these mock drafts. These mocks don't look at fit.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then people get enamored with a player, and it's like, what was Chris Olave going to be in the Packers offense based on what they asked the receivers to do? Right? So, well, from a blocking standpoint.
Oh, listen, I think if Olave would have fell, they would have taken him. I think I'm pretty sure of that.
If you get the right player in the right spot, that's fine, but they have to fit with what it is that you ask your receivers to do. Now, I'm not going to say don't take a potential generational talent or a really, really good talent, even if he's not a good blocker, because, you know, that's going to there's a lot of other things that'll get made up for. But that's what the point I'm trying to make there is that sometimes we get enamored with players and it's like, you don't realize, like, you're asking the Packers to draft someone, like you said, who's already, they already have on the roster in X player or Y player. You know, if it's a Randall Cobb situation, okay, I get that. Cobb's obviously only going to play one or two more years. And then that guy comes in and takes over and the Packers like to ease them in. They don't want, because right now Quay Walker doesn't have to come in and be the answer in the middle of the defense. And there, it sounds like they're going to move him around and he's going to do a bunch of different things, but you only have Devondre Campbell there to kind of take some of the pressure off of you. So I think he's going to be okay. I think.
See, yeah. And that's another thing that the Packers do with their pick. Like they, like you said, with the mocks always like, well, they need this. So they're going to, he don't take need. He takes the highest ranked player on his board. He did it with Gary. There's the comparison with Gary and Walker, is that no, the Packers didn't necessarily inside linebacker wasn't their greatest need. They have a an all pro playing there, but Walker was their highest rated player. They weren't going to pass him up to take a need at safety or a need at wide receiver or a need at wherever else, tight end. They weren't going to do that. They weren't going to reach for a guy when they had a guy that they had a very high grade on sitting there. And that's the same with Wyatt. When it came to Wyatt, they probably thought about Wyatt with the first pick.
Sure.
And then and decided Walker, and couldn't believe Wyatt was still there a few picks later, and said, we're just going to take him.
It worked out.
I mean, you know, now last year was different. Last year they did need a corner. And they got lucky that Stokes was there for him. Had Stokes not been there, I don't think they would have reached for the next thing. Well, I don't know who the next corner was. I don't think, but they wouldn't have reached for one. They would have taken, you know, a different position. Because that's not what they don't. This Packer front office and Ted, sometimes Ted did reach. But Gutekunst and his people, Hendrickson and their scouting department, they don't reach. They don't go to fill needs. They take who they feel are, you know, is the best player that's going to help the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
You know, this year and next year. You know, when they took A.J. Dillon, they had two very good running backs. Two very good ones, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. But they liked A.J. Dillon, so they took him.
And figured it out.
And now, you know, Williams left as a free agent. They probably didn't know if Jones was going to stay or not either. I mean, Jones could have left as a free agent. They had no idea. I mean, they knew they were going to make him an offer, but they didn't know if somebody else was going to make him a crazy, crazy offer that, you know. So, yeah, you know, in the NFL, you teams that reach for needs usually end up getting burned in the long run.
Right. Yeah, we've seen that happen a lot before. Well, okay, so kind of transition into my...
Let me give you this. For the first draft I ever covered, I'm covering the Eagles, and I'm going to tell you, I was really, really young when I was doing that. It was the 1985 draft. And the Eagles needed an offensive tackle. Everybody in the world did it. Their tackles were terrible. They needed a tackle in the worst way. And they were picking like ninth. So they, or tenth, whatever. They were picking pretty high. So there was a pretty good chance they were going to get a good offensive tackle. And there was Bill Fraley was the one he was the best one, but everybody knew he was going like top five picks, and he did to the Falcons. Then there was Lomas Brown and Ken Ruckers. And one of them figured to be there for the Eagles. Maybe there was a chance both of them might be there, and you wondered which one they liked better. But one of them was probably going to go, and one would be there, and they would be happy with either one. Would the Lions take Lomas Brown at seven, I think it was. And now Buffalo's up at eight, and then the Eagles at nine, I believe, or either eight or nine or nine or ten, whatever it was. All right, they're going to get Ken Ruckers because the Bills need something else. They're not taking an offensive line. Well, the Green Bay Packers, of all teams, trade up ahead of the Eagles and take Ken Ruckers. Now the Eagles go into complete panic mode. They didn't see it coming. They weren't prepared. And they reached and took a kid named Kevin Allen from Indiana with the 10th pick. Kevin Allen is the worst pick in Eagles history.
Mm-hmm.
He spent more time in jail than he did on a football field.
Yeah.
In spite of being a bad player, he was a bad guy. But he was terrible. Buddy Ryan cut him. He played 1 year. Buddy Ryan cut him in 86. I forget Buddy's quote. Somebody asked him, how does Allen look? He says, he looks like a guy that's standing around killing grass.
Right.
I'll never forget that quote. So, and guess who was the next pick after Kevin Allen? I'll give you a hint. The San Francisco 49ers took him.
Might have been a wide receiver.
Yes, from Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice, yeah.
So instead of taking the – but Eagles didn't need a wide receiver. Well, guess what? You need Jerry Rice. Anybody needs Jerry Rice. Right? They had good
wide receivers. Every team has that. For the Packers fans, it's Mandarich and Barry Sanders.
Mandarich, that just – if they didn't make steroids illegal,
he would have worked
been
out.
He'd have been a great player.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
but yeah. I mean, I know people that I remember that I covered that draft also, And there were people saying Dallas, oh, Dallas, they should have taken Mandarich over Aikman. There were people actually saying that.
I wish they had.
Yeah, me too. Well, then, you know, it's funny you say that. Do you really?
Well, I know, because then we don't
get
Mike Holmgren.
You don't get
because,
Mike, and
because
you don't
it,
get
Lindy
Brett
Infante
Favre.
Probably sticks around because they don't stink.
Well, you don't get, and you never
get
Brett
Favre.
Favre,
right?
So, do you want Aikman in there?
Yeah, but if Aikman comes in and he would have got him a Super Bowl by like 93 or 94, there's a lot of things that could have gone the other.
What do you? Well, he wouldn't have had Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin. I don't know. It's a great question.
It depends how much you believe in Troy Aikman as a pure quarterback.
Right, and I like Troy a lot. I do. I think he was a great. I think he's underrated. I think because of what I said about Emmitt, and yes, he did have a great team, but he was a great leader. Favre was obviously more stronger arm, more talent, you know, more flair, so to speak, whatever you want to call it. Made a lot more mistakes too. You know, it's funny. Again, I'm going to tell you another story. We can probably hold your other thing until next week. But
yeah.
I was in Dallas. The Eagles played the Cowboys the last game of that season, 88 season. Yeah, the Eagles beat them. So Dallas falls to whatever their record, 3-13 or whatever it was. Green Bay's playing Arizona, and it's on TV in the press box. And
they kicked a game winner.
Well, yeah, Green Bay. Well, I'm watching the game with one eye, writing my stories. And sitting behind me is all the Dallas brass at the time. It wasn't Jerry and Jimmy yet, because they come in the next year and took it. But it was like, I'm trying to remember who the general manager was then. It was, I guess, Tex Ram and them were there, right? Tex Ram and Brandt and all those guys. They're all sitting behind me. And they're rooting like crazy for the Packers. Because if the Packers win, they get the first pick. And it was just funny watching the game with the Cowboys brass. Aikman was at Troy Aikman was at that Arizona game. He was in Arizona watching the Packer game, thinking that if the Packers lost that game, which I'm assuming Arizona was favored because Green Bay was the second worst team in the league that year, and every game was on the road, he was going to be a Packer. And I actually during one of the Cowboys Super Bowls that I covered, I actually brought that story up to Aikman. He looked at me and went, you remember that I was at that game? I said, yeah. He's like, wow. And then he talked about it and how, you know, if he would have gone to Green Bay and blah, blah. You know, Troy was always a good quote.
Sure. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, the world would have been different.
All very, very for sure. And I think, yeah, I think you're right. So I'll tee it up because maybe we'll talk about it next week or something else will come up. Mine was going to be Bakhtiari, but my concern was going to be Bakhtiari and the fact that we just, you know, can we just get 1 ounce of good news on him instead of just no news?
I'm with you there.
We'll save that and we'll talk about it because the crew that did the Wednesday show covered it and talked about it. And obviously it's a concern and the offensive line is going to change dramatically if he can't play this season early and beyond. And even earlier, it's going to be a big problem because they aren't going to have Elgton Jenkins for a while either as he continues to recover from his ACL, which didn't happen until late November. So we'll hold on to that and we'll save that one for next week. Maybe we'll have Paul back with us. What I should say is I will not be here next week. I will be on hiatus. I'll be on a vacay. I will be gone next week and I'll be back the week after. So I certainly hope Paul's back next week. Otherwise, we're going to have to find somebody that can run the board, as they say. What is going on over Packer Report? What's up now and what's coming up?
Okay, well, my series of previewing the Packers position by position continues. Right now is linebackers, which we were talking about, Quay Walker. And I write that this group, or Campbell and Walker, it's the best set of linebackers and the most heralded set of linebackers the Packers have had since Nick Barnett and A.J. Hawk. And it's kind of similar in that Barnett became an All-Pro his fourth year. Campbell's was his fifth year. Walker is the first inside linebacker they've selected in the first round since they took Hawk in the first round. And, you know, Hawk had a pretty good rookie year for him, playing next to Barnett. And if Walker can have the kind of year Hawk had, and Campbell continues to do what he did, this is a really good – these linebackers are as good as they've been in a long, long time. And then coming up later today, Thursday, will be to look at the edge rushers. Again, we talked about Rashawn Gary and what he's done in Preston Smith, and then who's going to be that – who's going to be the third – the backup guys to Gary and Smith.
We shall see. That's good. It's good topic for this time of year, and it's June, so that means training camp breaks next month at the end of the month. So we're there. We're like 5 weeks away from some slight football news. So good stuff. Well, thanks everybody for riding along with us. Been a good conversation, and we'll be back next week and every Thursday after that with the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast, talking Packers again. Hopefully, something really good to talk about soon in this late summer time frame. So as it always ends, everybody, wherever you're at, stay cool in these hot temperatures. Stay safe. Now the weather was crazy in Wisconsin. Hope everybody is doing okay. And as always, go Pack, go.